the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. May the grace and peace of God our Creator, the love of the Lord Jesus, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. We come to this celebration at Christ's invitation. We are strengthened at this table. Let us open our hearts to receive it. Grant, we pray, that we may not be wrapped in the darkness of error, but always stand in the bright light of your truth. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his apostles, "Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. Whoever receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. Whoever receives a righteous man because he is righteous will receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives only a cup of cold water to one of these little ones to drink, because the little one is a disciple, I say to you, he will surely not lose his reward." The Gospel of the Lord.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia.
There are stories that only priests know. Like the cleric who, before there was COVID or pandemics, went for a walk one summer day and came across a group of boys sitting in a circle with a scraggly dog in the middle. He asked, "What are you doing with that dog?" One of the boys said, "We found him and we all want to take him home. We don't have a coin to flip, so we decided whoever can tell the biggest lie gets to keep the dog." The priest, being a priest, was kind of taken aback. He said, "You can't keep that dog. And besides, you shouldn't be telling lies. Why, when I was your age, I never told a lie." The group looked at him, and one of the boys said, "Okay, you get the dog." Beyond every priest story, beyond every shaggy dog, there is something that we all know. The truth matters. And our gospel today is about a truth so basic that it lies at the heart of Christianity. It was something Jesus never shied away from, and it affects each of our lives. It is the cost of discipleship. And today's gospel in part lays this out with a kind of stunning honesty. The Lord extends his mission, and he tells them that they will encounter the same hostility he has encountered. He tells them there is a cost of discipleship as well as rewards. The way this gospel is laid out is in terms of ultimate choice. To choose the status quo or choose to follow the Lord. To avoid any personal cost or to embrace the cross. To be loyal only to ourselves or to be loyal to God. For Jesus, there was no middle way. These are challenging words that he speaks today. Whoever loves family more than me cannot be my disciple. Whoever doesn't embrace the cross is not worthy of me. Why would he say these things? He said them because they were true, and because truth matters. We are all familiar with the story of the early church and the persecution of the early Christians by the Romans. One of the reasons they did that, one of the reasons they hated Christianity so much, was that it did what the gospel says. It split families apart. Being Christian came at a high cost. To reject the popular pagan religion and embrace this new teacher, Jesus, was dangerous. It could get your whole family in trouble. It could cost family members their position, their status, and even their freedom. It was risky just having a Christian in the family. And so families turn their backs on their Christian members. And rather than be tempted by a pagan culture, some Christians distance themselves as well. Following Christ means accepting rejection and misunderstanding. It is about accepting a cross in the most personal way. These were not poetic metaphors Jesus was using in the gospel. They were describing what discipleship demands. And the point, I believe, is not that the choices of Jesus were hard. We face hard choices all the time. The point was that those choices were worth it. In 1976, three young men formed a company that would forever change the way the world communicates. Steve Jobs, Steve Wozniak, and their friend Ron Wayne signed articles of incorporation that created Apple Computers. It was Ron Wayne who named the company after the apple that fell on the head of Sir Isaac Newton and led to his great discovery. But just 12 days later, afraid he was about to lose his meager life savings on this crazy idea, Ron Wayne sold his shares back for $800. In 2018, Apple was listed as the largest corporation in the world, and today those shares Ron Wayne sold are valued at $95 billion. We all make choices. The question is, do we make good ones? Jesus tells us that discipleship is worth the cost, that the one who acts with compassion will receive the compassionate person's reward. But he goes on to tell us something more. It is the principle that underlies the entire mission of the church. Whoever receives you receives me. And whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. Discipleship is not only about what we receive. It is about what we share and even more, what we become. In his book, Man's Search for Meaning, the Holocaust survivor Viktor Frankl wrote, "Each of us is questioned by life, and we can only answer by answering for our own life. We can only respond by being responsible." One of the remarkable things about the discipleship Jesus described is how unremarkable it really is. It is about giving a glass of water, about receiving a stranger with kindness. It is about doing things that all of us can do. In one of the poorest places in America, in rural Kentucky, people who live with virtually no money and few possessions have developed an amazing sense of generosity. A volunteer from Cleveland who worked there for a summer told about the almost daily examples of how those local people who had almost nothing were willing to do so much for others. And she made a list as she was going along that they would fix a neighbor's mailbox or rebuild a porch or weatherproof a roof or care for a neighbor's disabled child or cook for an elderly widower or offer a bed to a transient or visit someone living on some remote hill. What impressed her the most was that their generosity never depended on what they had. It was about the need they saw and their willingness to respond. Years ago, Mother Teresa came to Cleveland where she spoke at John Carroll University. In her talk, she challenged the people of America, and she said, "I have spent my life in the slums of India, among the poorest of the poor. But I come to this country with its abundance and wealth and find in some ways that you too are among the poorest of the poor. You have been blessed with abundance and wealth, but spend your lives trying to get even more. You pursue things that cannot make you happy and ignore the one thing that will: compassion." The Dalai Lama once said that at every level of society, familial, tribal, national, and international, the key to a happier world is the growth of compassion. Jesus tells us it is an essential truth. This lies at the heart of discipleship, the realization that our lives no longer belong to us alone. They belong to God and to everyone we serve in God's name. Strengthen your people, Almighty God, as we follow in the way of your Son. Give us courage and boldness in proclaiming our faith and in living it for others. Hear us through Christ our Lord. Sacrifice we have offered, fill us with life, O Lord, so that bound to you in lasting charity, we may bear fruit that endures forever. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us go in peace to glorify the Lord with our